Hello, I'm Joshua.
And I'm Mary, and welcome to From the Heart.
Orlando is widely known for its tourist spots and attractions, but many people don't know about its thriving arts community.
We are excited to introduce to you talented and passionate artists who shape our arts community. How do they create and why? And how can Orlando benefit from an even greater arts presence?
On each episode, we'll meet guests who are influential leaders and artists who are truly making a difference.
From the Heart.
Hello, Mary.
Hi, Joshua.
How are you?
I'm good. You've not been well, I heard.
No, I haven't. I feel kind of like I've got the smoker's voice today. So if it sounds a little interesting, yeah, that's what it is. But I'm just glad I have a voice. Last week, I didn't have one at all, so I'm feeling much better, but I just had that junk that was going around. You know what? I went and got some good drugs. the guy at Walgreens said there was a super bug going around.
Wow.
Yeah, so I felt like a hero there for just a moment. I've got the super bug.
The super bug.
It was really cool. What
like
did you do? So I was recovering, you know, from the deathbed. What were you doing?
Well, I spent some time doing Night of Joy out at Disney, one of the hosts there. And they had some good music.
Yeah.
It's a night of all Christian music, but it was just good music.
Yeah.
All different kinds. And one guy was rocking out one of our texts, goes, "This music's good." And then he goes to me, "And I'm even Jewish." And it just made me laugh. I'm like, "You go, bro."
That's awesome.
But that was fun. And
so Night of Joy, that's a night at Disney where all these different Christian artists come in, right? And people buy a ticket. And they just moved it over to the sports complex, right?
For the first time, which actually was nice because there are different stadiums of different sizes. So some of their larger bands that have major fans could hold them in that space, but then there were more intimate areas.
Yeah.
And it was just all for the people that came out there, so it was exclusive to them. And so we had big broadcasts all over with five of us hosting different stages.
How fun.
Television.
You do so many cool things out at Disney.
It was fun. I was really glad to be on that project.
That's awesome. Well, we actually did Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat as well this past weekend. We had almost 4,000 people come out and see that show. You know, that show is kind of timeless, but we did it in a cool, modern, different take on it. And it was a benefit show, concert for our outreach programs that we do. So we were happy that we had such a good turnout. And it was a huge success.
Which outreach program will benefit from that?
The ones that we do in all of the kind of the bed communities, Pine Hills, Paramore,
yes.
Bithlow, Sanford, Osceola County. We do in-school and after-school programming. So we think that when it's all said and done, we raised about $15,000 just through the show to continue some of that work that we're doing. So that was exciting. So if you got to see the show, thanks for coming out and supporting it. And then we launched all of our fall programming over the last couple of weeks, including the big 300 voice choir to get ready for the Christmas show on Monday. So it's all back and running with CFC.
Congratulations.
Arts. Yeah.
And it's the first time I missed a show, and it was because of Night of Joy. So,
well, I will forgive you because you were there with the Christians doing good things.
The big guy upstairs, yeah.
That's awesome. Well, there were lots of great things happening in our community. So many great shows opened. Goat Theater, who's using our space right now, opened Jekyll and Hyde. And Shakespeare Theater opened West Side Story. So lots of
Bonnie and Clyde,
which
Jekyll
we're going to have.
And Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah, we're going to have the Garden Theater on the show next week. So to hear all about Bonnie and Clyde and their opening. So lots of great things happening, but also another really great concert for a great cause happened this past weekend called One Voice, and the brilliant minds and talented men behind that concert are here with us on the show today.
Yes.
Yay! We need one of those claps and cheers, Mary. Isn't there like a button you can push for that? So we have Gabriel Pricer, the executive and artistic director, and Vincent Connor, the general director of Orlando Opera.
Opera Orlando.
You know what?
Right?
I
even thought about it and then said it wrong. It's still a little bit of the drugs. I can blame it on that.
Well, because it used to have that name.
Of course. Yes. Yeah, Opera Orlando. I know what
it's
Opera
called. Orlando is a professional opera company dedicated to producing quality opera performances and events throughout the area. Formerly known as the Florida Opera Theater, which was founded in 2009, Opera Orlando has grown to become the city's premier opera company, offering a wide range of events, productions, and educational opportunities throughout the year. So we hope everyone here will be inspired to become a member and go out and support them.
Yay. Welcome, guys. We're so glad you're here today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Josh. Thank
you,
Mary.
Yeah, very cool. And I apologize. I messed up the name. I thought about it, and I shouldn't have, and I should have just said what I knew. But I love what you said, where opera comes first.
Of course. That's one of our mantras. One of our mantras.
What are your many tricks in the bag? I love that. So, Gabe, tell us all about what your role is there and when you started. You guys have seen such great growth and change and rebirthing. So tell us a little about how you came to the organization and what your role is and what you're working on.
Of course, it's been a wild ride. We just changed the name back in January. So only 8 months ago that we changed from Florida Opera Theater to Opera Lando. And in that time, we had a big gala back in March honoring Bryce West, of course, who's been a big supporter of the arts in Orlando and especially Opera Lando. And that fundraiser was a big success and led us to our double bill production in April at the Jim and Alexis Pugh, or I should say Alexis and Jim Pugh Theater at the Dr. Phillips Center, which was also packed houses, three performances, artists from around the country. And we've just been rolling since then. We had the distinct honor this last weekend, as you mentioned, to coordinate concert One Voice Orlando, a celebration in song, raising money for charities and organizations that helped during the Pulse tragedy, specifically the Orlando Health Level 1 Trauma Center, the GLBT Center, Zebra Coalition, the Holocaust Center, Somos Orlando, and the Interfaith Council of Central Florida. All of these charities, organizations help make our community safer. And of course, the Trauma Center were the first responders to the Pulse tragedy, and we had a special tribute for them at the concert. It was a great turnout, raised lots of money for these charities, and it was a great opportunity for us to get out in our community and do what our art form does. It heals.
Mm-hmm.
Opera has that special power. It can bring people together. As we all know, the arts bring people together, but there's something visceral and unbelievable about an unamplified voice and those lush orchestrations. It just hits you. It hits you. And I tell you, it hit me. I was in tears at the concert. I don't usually cry unless I'm around you, Josh.
And those aren't usually for good reasons, I know.
I mean, Vince maybe could share with you. What was some of the feedback that we got from the concert, Vince?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we've just received so much support from the community, not only statewide, but nationally as well. The president, Mark Skorka of Opera America, wrote us a really touching letter just saying how happy he is that, first of all, opera is back in Orlando, and second of all, the tremendous impact that we've had on the community.
Mm.
You know, we had Mayor Buddy Dyer, you know, there. We had Patty Sheen there. We had Mel Martinez there. And just the amount of community representatives has just been tremendous.
Yeah, I really, you know, I think you guys are doing such a great job and such a class act. And I know throughout the journey of getting ready for this, you had tons of videos of community leaders and senators and all this showing support and so much great planning and great media coverage and all of that. And then in the final stretch, you had one of your big stars that had to not be there. And you handled that so well. The way that you gave that message out and all of that, it was so well. And if you're just tuned in to Magic 107.7 FM from the heart with myself and Mary Thompson Hunt, we're talking to the brains behind the opera in town. And guys, what was that like going through that and in leadership of this thing you've been working on forever? And you had a headliner and then at the last minute it fell through.
Tell me about that. I didn't know what happened.
We had Ana Maria Martinez, who might not be a household name. You know, that's the thing nowadays. Opera singers aren't as much a household. We don't have any Pavarottis or Maria Callas's anymore. Placido's still around, you know. He might be like 100, but he's still around. But Ana Maria Martinez, a fabulous artist, has sung at the Met, has sung all over, and really wanted to be here.
Mm.
She was one of the first artists that we got involved for One Voice Orlando because she's Puerto Rican and wanted to give back to the Hispanic community, and unfortunately was under the weather. You know, she was coming off a gig in Chicago and had to cancel there. She didn't want to cancel. She was emailing me every day. You know, I really want to be there. I hope I can feel better. And yeah, we weren't sure how to handle it when she actually did cancel, which was Friday.
Scary.
It was scary, right?
And the concert
Friday
was
concert on Sunday.
Wow.
And, you know, we've been billing her. She's been the headliner for this concert. But we thought it was important to be honest and transparent with our audience.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, put it out there right away why she canceled. And luckily, the people still came.
Yes. Yeah, that's. I think that's why I brought it up, because I think the honesty and the transparency of just emailing people, your patrons, and saying this is what's happened to this, it's why it's happened, but the show must go on.
Exactly.
You know, and you even said that when the show started, because I got to watch it online, and you addressed it from the very beginning. So I just thought it was such a class act way of handling something that could have been, you know, if it wasn't you guys, maybe you would have said, oh no, you know, our star isn't here. And but I just thought
Vince,
it was another.
Vince was ready to sing Un Bel Di.
Yeah. Oh,
he was ready to sing Butterfly.
My Butterfly is, you know, show-stopping. Literally. Awesome. Literally.
Yeah. Luckily, that's we awesome. Had a soprano already in our roster for the concert who was singing, Cecilia Violeta Lopez, and she knocked it out of the park. She sang Un Bel Di, which Anna was supposed to sing on the concert. And
wow.
Did it just it
was,
beautifully.
It was very moving. It was very moving. Yeah.
So
was that the highlight for you of the concert?
Oh my gosh, there were so many highlights.
Tell us about some of your highlights.
Yeah, Vince, tell.
I think one of my highlights actually was that moment, but not in the concert, but in the rehearsal, because I got to see the vulnerability of Cecilia being up there last minute doing it. And she was able to just get so into it. There was a tear that came down her cheek, and it was really breathtaking, and it got me to cry as well.
Wow,
and sweet.
That's
yeah.
awesome. And you guys had opera choruses from all over the state, right?
We did.
That,
yeah.
that joined mm-hmm. together to do the mass choir. Tell us about how you worked all that.
Sure. So originally, when Opera America reached out to us about how they could help get involved, they came up with the idea that, you know, why don't we put together a statewide, you know, representation of all of opera. And so they helped us get in touch with Opera Naples, with Florida Grand Opera, Palm Beach Opera, Sarasota Opera, St. Petersburg Opera, Opera
wow.
Tampa, and First Coast Opera.
Wow.
Did I miss any?
Eight different opera companies,
eight different
including
opera
Orlando.
Companies. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's so, never been, that's never been done before, Josh.
It's amazing.
You know,
it really
unprecedented.
Is. Yeah.
First time for everything, right?
The
right.
photos looked astounding.
And well, that was a moving moment for me, because Sarasota brought over their youth opera group, over 70 kids, and we had about 30 mm-hmm. from our youth group, and they're all up there singing Va Pensiero from Nabucco, and then we had the angels from the Shakespeare Theater, the very famous angels,
yes.
walking up on the stage,
wow.
and of course the first line is, go my thoughts on angel's wings, for liberty, for
I
freedom, you know, yeah, mm-hmm. it was mm-hmm. chilling.
Well, it's amazing, and yeah. I love that you guys, it was such a beautiful reminder to our community too, because, you know, Opera Orlando was, of course, a part of the Beautiful Together tribute
mm-hmm.
that we did. You guys,
which you pulled off, my
mm-hmm.
friend.
Well,
it was amazing.
Well, thank you. But it was so close and so still near and dear. And so now being removed from a little bit, there is no real norm. You know, I was talking to Chris Barton this morning about that from the Philharmonic. There really is no norm now. It's like, okay, we feel like we're starting to get back mm-hmm. to normal, but there really isn't that anymore in our community after you go through something like
mm-hmm.
that. But you were able to, on a very important day, September 11th,
mm-hmm.
you know, with all those flags out in the lawn,
yeah.
you were able to remind us again to stop and to pause as a community, whether you were there that night or not,
mm-hmm.
To stop and pause as a community and remember what happened on June 12th. So I just want to thank you guys both for doing that. And I think it was such an ambitious undertaking with just really launching, you know, 8 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
with
we're still a small organization, so it definitely used all of our resources, and we were lucky to have support from Opera America, from Orlando Ballet, from the Timucua Arts Foundations. I think we had over 20 sponsors and partners
mm-hmm.
involved in this undertaking.
Mm-hmm. You know, we've often said since our tragedy here that the first responders were the artists that came out and still coming out, and the beauty that you could be there on 9/11. Just means so much. Did you see that lawn with the flags?
I did.
That just blew me away.
I didn't know that was happening, and I came by to go to church on Sunday morning, and I saw it, mm-hmm. and of course the streets were empty the time I drove by, and it was really, really unbelievable. So Vincent, before we take a break, tell
mm-hmm.
us a little bit about what you do with the company.
Sure. I am in charge of general operations. I do a lot of the day-to-day activities. You know, Gabe and I both have a very deep artistic past, and so I am also transitioning to more of the CFO role, as well as overseeing education and community impact, civic impact.
So you're doing absolutely nothing?
Absolutely nothing. No, yeah.
I gave him all the hard stuff.
And you guys are surrounded by such a fun team, which we'll talk about later with Eric
Pinder
and Robert
yes.
Jensen. And,
yeah.
So many wonderful, wonderful team members. But we come back. We're going to take just a quick break. We're going to learn more about Gabe and about Vincent just as artists and as people and as leaders in our community. So stay tuned and join us back here on From the Heart, Magic 107.7 FM.
Welcome back to From the Heart. I'm Mary Thompson Hunt here with my esteemed co-host Joshua Vickery. And today we're talking with Gabe Pricer, Artistic Director, and Vince Connor, General Manager of Opera Orlando. Welcome to both of you. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we wanted to ask a little bit about both of your journeys, how it is that you got to this area in the line of work you're in. Did you always know that you would be opera singers, or did you just build the passion along the way?
Well, I grew up right here in Orlando, Florida, and my mother owned a karaoke bar called Big Daddy's.
Oh.
And so I grew up singing there all the time, and so I knew that music sort of, you know, went through my veins, and I didn't get the football scholarship I'd hoped when I went to Florida State, and so then I did singing instead, and that's where my scholarship was.
Okay, because you are built like a football player.
I am.
And so football and opera, that... You don't think of those as going together, do you, Joshua?
No, not really.
I don't play anymore, sadly.
Well, good for you. But my goodness, so opera, what is it that it does for you that nothing else does?
Oh my gosh. Well, my story is that, first of all, I grew up with Orlando Opera, and I saw a lot of their outreach shows, and it really, you know, sort of planted the seed when I was young. And then when I went to Florida State, I much like Josh, I was actually into conducting, and I really wanted to be a conductor. And then I saw Carlisle Floyd Susanna at Florida State, and that made me laugh, it made me cry, it really opened up something inside me that I never knew existed, and it was the magic of opera.
Oh, that's awesome.
Wow.
And so from there, I switched my career trajectory to be more along the lines of an opera singer, and then I developed into a stage director, which is really where I can really sort of see the bigger picture, and I get to really play with, you know, different characterizations, and I get to really play with different conceptual ideas, and now general director of an opera company.
Love it.
Which role do you enjoy the most? I mean, all of them have, of course, their great points and, you know, things that might stress you out or whatever, but where do you feel like you're right now? Is this where you're supposed to be, in an administrative role, an educational role?
You know, I really do, because I'm so passionate about education, and I'm so passionate about opera, and I'm so passionate about developing opera for future generations. I found that I think is my calling. And in terms of being in the artistic side as a stage director, I really find that, you know, first of all, singing for me was, it wasn't really my dream. I was singing my second Leporello, and I was like, am I learning this? There's 27 recitatives that Leporello has. And I was like, I'm just sitting there memorizing, and I'm getting lost in how I would stage it. And so, I forget what the question was, but...
Which do you like
which
best?
Which do you like the best?
Oh, which do I like best? I like to be a stage director. I like to be an administrator.
And you just mentioned that musical term, the
recitatives. Yes,
recitatives. For those that might not know, and for me who has totally forgotten, tell us what that is.
Sure. Well, recitatives are... It's sort of a device that is used in classical opera that is sort of like spoken singing, and it's where actually the plot furthers.
Oh, yes.
And so it's usually just with the harpsichord or piano, and it's dialogue to song.
So we're going back into the radio show now.
Yep. We're going back, and this is how we do it, and this is recitative.
There you go.
You got him to sing, Mary. That was very tricky. I saw how you did that. That was very tricky.
She said
tricky.
She was going to do it. She did.
She actually gave you the warning and then tricked you into doing it. It was beautiful and perfect.
Y'all are making me laugh.
So you.
How about you, Gabriel?
Yeah.
Well, actually, Vince and I have a lot in common. I also grew up in this area. Grew up in Apopka.
Apopka, right? Yeah.
The indoor foliage capital of the world. Don't forget them. That's very important.
Now, did your mom have a karaoke bar?
No.
All right, then.
I grew up in a big sports family. My dad was a football coach, and my mom luckily required us to take piano or sing in choir. And I was the kid who sang the national anthem in my football pads before the football game.
Hmm.
So I was Glee before Glee.
And that's what I say, too.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you were both football players.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, all our wonderful listeners out there, when we first got started, you know, sometimes we do live video feeds so you can see behind the scenes of what's really happening in these studios. But Mary said something, and then she said, I'm not going to mess with them because they're both big. She said, not big in a good way, like they're both football players. So if somebody messes up on stage, you guys can just kind of butt them.
That's right. Right.
That's awesome. Right.
You know what I would like to share with them? Quickly, the story that Buddy Dyer told us. Buddy Dyer was a football player.
Yeah.
His coach made them take acting lessons so that they could learn to work collaboratively.
And they didn't have a choice. They hated it at first. They ended up loving it. They did so well that they went to finals in Florida with some play they were in and won.
No way.
And when the Dr. Phillips Center for the Performing Arts opened, he had two seats down front saved just for that teacher.
Oh,
I know.
Yeah. What a great story.
Really made
a
difference.
Amazing. We had him on the TV show, and we talked a lot about that and how much theater really changed who he was as a person and shaped him into who the leader he is today. So, Patty Sheehan is also an artist, and Marcia Goodwin is an artist, and so many people in our leadership are artists. Mm-hmm. I think that's awesome. Critically acclaimed by the New York Times and the Opera News, you have been.
Who's that?
That's you. That is you. You've been leading man in various companies, including Minnesota, Colorado Symphony, Opera San Antonio, and so many more. What are some of those? Just opera companies that you love to sing with outside of here.
Yeah, you know, I was the foolish one out of my six siblings to actually pursue a career in the arts, as they say, and stuck with the performance route. And I still am a performer, kind of first and foremost. I think my most impactful role was actually doing a world premiere piece. It's called Silent Night, and it's about the World War I Christmas truce based on the true story.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I played the role of Lieutenant Gordon, the Scottish lieutenant who proposes the truce. You know, the different sides, the Scottish, the French, who are fighting against the German on the other side of the trenches, all started singing Christmas carols that fateful Christmas Eve.
Wow.
And then played soccer the next morning. But the part of the story that we don't realize, or maybe we don't learn in our history books, is they were all reprimanded, both sides. And both sides were sent to the worst part of the fronts. The French were sent to the Verdun. The Germans were sent to the Russian front. And it's a tragic story, really. You know, you have this beautiful moment of humanity amidst utter tragedy and just ugliness, and then it wasn't rewarded. To think that it was punished back then. So luckily, I did that piece of Minnesota opera.
Which made it perfect for an opera. It was a tragedy.
Oh, it's an amazing story. And you have the French singing in French and the German singing in German and the Scots singing in Scottish. and Rogue, yeah. I did that in Minnesota. I've done it in Cincinnati, and I'll be returning to do it again this year at Michigan Opera Theater. So it's a powerful opera being done all over the place right now. We'd love to do it here in Orlando.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of men. We got to get some men, though, to do all three armies. So,
can you help him out, Joshua?
Yeah, we could find you some guys for
sure.
Oh, good.
That
would be cool. Well, if you're just listening to Magic 107.7 FM from the Heart with my beautiful co-host, Mary Thompson Hunt, and myself, Joshua Vickery, we are talking to Gabe and to Vincent from the opera and just learning all about them as performers and now leaders within the Opera Orlando Company. And we're so glad to have you guys on the show. So tell us about Angels and Demons. That's another thing that you have, right? That's another company that you run.
Isn't that a video game? Angels and Demons. Yeah.
It sounds like it.
or some new movie or something.
Well, in my spare time, which I don't have, I run a little production company, and it's mostly semi-staged operas, which is a very popular thing. For instance, the Philharmonic here in town does semi-staged productions. But we also do site-specific works, and we just did a site-specific version of Marriage of Figaro set in an 1890s mansion, very Downton Abbey style, sung in English with only 35 people, and you move from room to room each act. So you move throughout the house, and it's something we would love to do here in Orlando, don't you think, Vince? I think
absolutely.
It'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
They should go to John Dadana's house.
Maybe
and do
with the
something.
Fringe Festival.
You wouldn't be alone.
Whose house?
That's true.
Yeah.
Do you know who John Dadana is?
No, I don't.
He's a great
Phantasmagoria.
Phantasmagoria is a really cool just acting dance one of the acrobatics troupe.
Yes.
But John is also the director of theater for Valencia College, but just a really great director in town. But he just bought this huge. Well, I don't even know how many homes. It's in Sanford. Mm-hmm. It's a big historic home, and it's haunted. He's been posting all these videos
Seriously,
and photos.
They
like
see
wow.
her.
Wacky,
they hear
crazy
her. People
stuff.
Working in the house have seen her. It's crazy.
Yeah.
We'll
so
have
it's
to do Turn of the Screw by
right.
Benjamin
yeah,
Britten.
Turn of the Screw.
Oh, we should bring beautiful haunted. Voices there and just sing for her.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, wait, we have to get him to sing here first.
You already did that. You
Here's
did
the reason why I wasn't going to tell you guys this earlier, but I looked up questions to ask opera singers today just to see what would happen.
Oh,
and sure
goodness.
Enough, there came, but the one that made me happy is what never to ask opera singers.
Oh,
let me guess.
Go ahead.
Were you on American Idol?
Yes, that's one of them. That's one of them.
Or you
one,
should never say my favorite opera is Phantom of the Opera.
Yes. Have you ever been in Phantom of the Opera? That's another one.
Okay, what's the top one? Yeah.
The other one was, will you sing something for me? So why I was like, oh, wait, I shouldn't have asked them that. But I didn't do it on the air.
Do opera stars not like to be put on the spot? Is that like a...
It depends. You know, you have some tenors who just are obsessed with being in the spotlight. So they'll sing at the drop of the hat. Then you have those sopranos who have 5 scarves wrapped around their neck and special potions that they drank to preserve la voce.
That's
so
awesome.
It just depends on who you ask.
One of the ones here that made me laugh is, don't you think you should be watching your figure?
Ouch.
I know. And are you ever going to get a real job?
Yeah, this sounds like my parents.
We don't like that website, but I thought you'd get a laugh out of it.
Yeah,
I do like the one about, have you ever been on American Idol? That's funny.
Get that all the time.
Well, so, now it's America's Got Talent and The Voice. Yeah. So it's expanded over the years. Well,
it's still the same.
Will there be an opera show, you think, finding the next opera talent?
You know, they've tried to launch a couple of those. I think it's hard for them to get a following. They had, what was it called? Masterclass, right? Kind of behind the scenes at the Met competition.
Right, yeah.
Was that what it was called?
I think that was a documentary for the Metropolitan Opera.
Yeah.
Council auditions.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And they've been trying to launch this reality show of following opera singers' lives, but I'm sure getting somebody to fund it and put it out there, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Opera is not... popular art, and we're trying to make it that. You know, our slogan is where the city goes for opera, and that includes everybody, young and old, with our youth company program, with our productions like Don Giovanni that we're doing this year, these classics reimagined. Don Giovanni, we're setting it on a college campus and trying to highlight hot topics like campus rape, hazing, and we're not afraid, you know, and we want it to be accessible and relevant, challenging to our audiences.
How do you make it accessible to the average family? Maybe that they've never seen an opera. How do you get them to come, and how do you get them to understand it enough to say, wow, I like this?
That's a tough question because the word accessible, you know, means a lot to different people. But we do things like, you know, making it in English is a tactic. Fusing in technology, modern technology that... You know, oftentimes, as you know, a young opera company, we don't have the budget to do a big spectacle of a set. But how can we reach the audience in a very impactful visual way? You know,
we're very fortunate in the Pew Theater that it sits 300 people.
Intimate,
so we're able to. It's an intimate space. We're able to create immersive theater. Anybody who came to our double bill, you had people entering through the audience. You had references to the audience, jokes with the audience. We even had baby balloons falling on the audience at the end of the show. I know, Josh, you were there, right?
Oh, I was, and it was hilarious.
Breaking the fourth wall is always good.
I'd seen photos from the night before that people had been there, and they were holding those baby balloons. And I'm thinking to myself, how is that going to come into the show? And I have the privilege of being one of your grant panelists for United Arts. So I went to support you, but I also went, you know, okay, what am I going to be able to say about? And it was just great, guys. And what I did love about the accessibility was that it took a whole new twist on things. It made it more modern. It made it more approachable, made it fun and funny. And so anybody, whether you love opera or not, would have loved that evening of art on that stage.
There's something to be said about opera as high art and opera as entertainment. And we're trying to meet in the middle.
Well, I have to tell you, in this community, and Mary, you probably do this too, you know, we run in these circles all the time in the artistic world, and right, you know, nothing against Florida Opera Theater because they did some great work and really held the gap there for a while, but you began to lose the opera as part of the opera, the ballet, and the orchestra, the symphony orchestra. You know, those are kind of like the three staples of artistic works in an artistic community, of course, theater and all of that as well, but you started to lose that, and it was either you just heard a lot about the ballet and the Philharmonic, and now you hear Opera Orlando as a part of those.
We're making
trio.
A splash.
Well, you hear that in that trio now. You hear about the opera, the ballet, and the symphony. It's back. It really is back, and you're doing what you're set out to do is having really a resurgence of opera here in Orlando. So we're so excited about it.
Speaking of back. When we come back, I have a question for both of you from a friend that we have in common. So I'll keep you in suspense. Please join Joshua and myself, Mary Thompson Hunt, when we come back in just a few minutes. 107.7 From the Heart.
Welcome back to From the Heart. I'm Mary Thompson Hunt, here with my astute, sagacious, and erudite co-host, Joshua Vickery. And we're talking to our brilliant guest.
I don't even know what any of that means. Are you? A thank you, I guess?
Yes, you are sagacious. Well, gentlemen, the question that we have for you is from Eric Pinder.
Never heard of him.
No. I had to send him your resume.
Who's that guy?
He's our director in residence.
Yes, he's a director in residence.
Big part of Upper Orlando.
Tell us what he does besides make you laugh.
Director in residence. We try to keep him in the loop on everything we're doing. Mm-hmm. And he's actually directing our A Mall in the Night Visitors, which is going
to
be in December. Yes.
Our
touring production and the big climactic show is going to be at the Dr. Phillips Center.
He's a funny man, isn't he?
Oh, he's so funny.
He's hilarious.
We love you, Eric. So here's his question to you. Why do you believe updating operas from their time period benefits the audience?
Well, opera's been around since 1600. And what sometimes people forget is opera is theatrical, right? And theater should make us think. And when Mozart wrote Don Giovanni, because that's the opera we're doing this year, it was controversial at the time to point out the aristocracy for their abuse. In this case, Giovanni's abuse of women, abuse of power. And the same issues that they dealt with back then, we still deal with now. Sometimes it's hard, though, when that's blanketed in 1600 garb or 1600 vernacular. So by updating it, we're able to show that opera is still relevant. This music, these issues are still relevant today.
Hmm. And I'll piggyback and say that, you know, from an audience, you know, perception, you know, we have technology at our fingertips, you know, stimulating the brain synapses is different than it used to be. And it's really important to reach modern audiences in a modern way. Simple.
Love it.
I love that. And, you know, Gabe, Vincent, Mary and I get to talk to just great leaders and great artists every single week in the studio. And somehow it always comes back to at some point not doing art just for art's sake. But because there are issues, there are things to address, there are real life things that art just somehow brings to the surface a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like opera is no different.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Opera enables us to give voice to an otherwise difficult conversation.
Oh, I love that.
Wow, give voice mm-hmm. to an otherwise difficult conversation.
Oh, write that
with
down,
our
Mary.
Voice.
That's
I
really
will.
Good.
Yeah.
With our voice.
Speaking of voices, your two voices are beautiful. I don't think I've had two other guests sitting here.
I
that's
know.
So resounding.
I know. Well, and Mary has like the best radio voice ever. I don't know if you guys know, but Mary's an incredible host in town. Like she hosted the opening of the Dr. Phillips Center and all sorts of great things. So she just has this voice for radio. And there's quirky, dorky Josh over there. You know, and sometimes I can match, you know, the other guys that are on the radio. But now we have these two beautiful voices on the other side. You know, it's just...
Thank you.
It's a very fun and intimidating at the same time.
Okay. Mary, it's an honor to be here with you.
Yeah. Well, she sounded familiar.
She is. Yeah. She's fantastic. So you guys have an exciting season coming up. It is really your first full season as Opera Orlando, where the city goes for opera. And you have Opera in the Park is part of it. And I know you guys have done great at University Club. For that, right? You had a couple of sellouts
did.
Yeah, and then you have Donizetti's, Don Pasquale, and then you have Menotti's. Am I saying that right? Menotti's, Amal, the Night Visitors, and then Mozart's Don Giovanni. So a great lineup. Anything you guys want to talk about with those shows?
Sure. I'll start out by talking about Don Pasquale. I'm directing it, so I have a few things to say. It's a wonderful comedic tale that sort of dabbles into a lot of the traditional commedia dell'arte. You know, aspects of things. We have the buffoon, we have the heroine, uh-huh. we have the ingenue, and we have the baritone. And we're going back to what we said about, you know, modernizing. We didn't want to do too much too fast, and we thought that it'd be really important to, you know, take a traditional stance with the show with using some modern techniques. So we're gonna break the fourth wall in a few different ways. We're gonna make Dr. Malatesta, the baritone, act as a narrator. We're going to stage the overture. We're going to use the chorus in really fun, innovative ways. And it's just going to be incredibly funny.
That's so nice. Fun. And that will be at the Alexis and Jim Pugh Theater, right?
You got it. November 18th and 20th.
That Great. Sounds like a good one for families, yeah?
Absolutely.
For
yes.
sure. And it's starring Metropolitan Opera singer Peter Strummer in the title role. He is the king of buffos.
Mm-hmm. How long will that run for?
Just two performances, November 18th and 20th. at the Dr. Phillips Center. More information at our website, operlando.org. And for tickets, which are now on sale, go to the Dr. Phillips Center and click on shows and events. You'll see our whole opera season is there.
That's awesome.
Do you have a Facebook page?
We do.
We do. Opera Orlando.
Opera Orlando on Facebook.
Yeah, and you're pretty close to like 3,000 likes, I think I saw today, or right at.
I wonder
or,
if we're there yet.
We are eight Ooh, away. My wife
eight
just
away.
Texted
Ooh, eight
me.
Away.
I liked you this morning.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, oh really?
Yeah.
Oh, Tom, did you like us? Tom? Okay, Tom liked us. Josh? Yeah.
Oh, I've already liked you, my friend. You're good. So
you've
tell
already,
us about.
That's sweet. That's very sweet.
Tell us about A Mall of the Night Visitor. So you are taking that out into the community.
Yes.
Tell us about some of the places you'll be.
You know, it's the year of the dawn and a little boy. Yeah, the two dawns, and I don't know how this little boy got in the mix, but he's there. Amal is such a touching story. It was actually written for TV by Giancarlo Minotti, and it's the story of a boy who believes. It's a Christmas story, so it's a holiday treat for the whole family, only 50 minutes long in English. And because it's such an intimate, simple tale, it kind of seemed to be perfect for touring around the community. I think we're actually doing it with you, aren't we, Josh?
Yeah, you're doing it at our theater, absolutely.
Oh,
on December 20th.
December 20th?
December 20th.
That's my wedding anniversary. I'll bring my husband.
We're also doing it at the Arnold Palmer Children's Hospital, but that will be just for the patients there, of course. So we wanted to use this show to also give back to our community in a way. We're doing it as a benefit concert at Broadway Methodist Church. And then we'll have two performances at the Pew Theater, the Dr. Phillips Center, on December 18th.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and we're
Beautiful.
Hoping to make this kind of an annual staple every
tradition,
Christmas.
Tradition, yeah.
Yeah.
If someone wants to see some of your work, if they go to your Facebook page or your website, or operaorlando.org, mm-hmm. can they see parts of some of the...
Well, right now, our live stream is available from One Voice Orlando, which I definitely recommend that you
So
take
if
a
we
look
go
at.
To operaorlando.org, we can see the live...
The live
yes,
stream.
It's on our homepage, mm-hmm.
and
it's also on our Facebook page. You see the whole. You can see the whole performance.
Yeah, it's great, Mary.
Yeah.
You want to go check
it
out for sure.
Bring your tissues, Mary.
I will.
Mary hasn't cried yet, but it might come. We still have a few more minutes
this
left.
This would be the first time I've never cried.
Usually we get her laughing, and then she just starts doing kind of like the ugly
The waterworks come.
Thing, you know, where you don't know what's happening. But if you're just tuned in listening on Magic 107.7 FM from the heart, with Mary Thompson Hunt and Joshua Vickery, we are talking to Gabe and Vincent from Opera Orlando, just an incredible resurgence of opera here in our community. I'm so excited to have both you guys at the helm. But, you know, the future looks bright for opera. What are some visions and goals and dreams that you guys have for coming up?
Yeah, so, you know, we really want to ingrain ourselves in the community year round. We want to be doing something somewhere all the time. Mm. And, you know, as the Steinmetz Hall is, you know, being negotiated, that is sort of our dream to be there and to be producing grand opera there. But as well as, you know, we mentioned the word accessible earlier, being in accessible site-specific places as well. You know, we want to create a formula for opera that works for everyone.
Yeah. I love that you say that, because part of our mission, our mojo, is making the arts affordable and accessible to everyone. Mm-hmm. And sometimes opera has a little bit of that reputation that
right.
you might, you know, if you can't afford a tuxedo and a nice dinner, you can't afford to go out to see the opera. Mm-hmm. And by the way that you're taking this into the community and making it accessible, I think is going to change the view of opera here in where we live.
How can our community help you? What do you need?
Yeah, well, we need, you want to talk about this, Gabe?
Go for it.
So we are really looking for members. We are a membership organization, and if you are inspired by opera and want to be ingrained in the process, we would love to have you as a member. You can join membership at operlando.org if you click be a part.
What does the life of a member look like?
So first of all, it involves sort of a deeper community aspect in our organization, and it will offer you discounts to all of our events. And becoming a member really gets you ingrained in our organization.
If you're a member, do they get to hang out with you two cool guys?
Of course.
All the time.
Yes.
Parties at my house every night.
Well, tell them about your Young Professionals.
Sure. We are starting this season a Young Professionals group, which is geared towards, you know, 20 to 35, around that age
group.
Oh,
no. I just missed it, Mary.
We'll take it. Yeah, we'll take it.
All right.
But this is going to be a platform for young professionals who are audience fans. To be involved in our organization in a new way, things like participating in happy hours, getting discount on tickets, doing backstage VIP parties, those types of things.
They get to meet each other.
Meet each other, mingle, network, you know. And, you know, networking is so huge and no matter what business you're in. And so it's a great networking opportunity for young professionals.
And of course, we're always looking for season sponsors, whether they be corporate sponsors or individual sponsors. You know, we're open to having anybody be a part of Opera Orlando. We're open to having volunteers. And it does make it takes a community, it takes a village to get opera really going here. We have an initiative with the Summer Opera Institute that we do every summer with UCF. And we're hoping to grow that program so we can have a studio or a young artist program here in Orlando again, like they had with Orlando Opera. Not to be confused with Opera Orlando.
Where opera comes first.
So,
and the city goes for opera. You just pick a tagline. We have it.
I love it. I love it.
And also for the very first time, we are offering season tickets, which is, you know, really good news and huge for us. And those are available by calling the Dr. Phillips Center.
Great. And so to find out more information, of course, we go to operaorlando.org. And that's where you can see the entire season lineup. Also can see how to join to be a member, right? Or how to volunteer. And are there any sponsors that you guys want to give a shout out to that really helps you?
We are so grateful for Sundance Marketing. They do all of our printing for us. That's John and Audrey Ruggieri's organization. Mm-hmm. We're also grateful to CNP Marketing, who Chris Nickdell does all of our graphic design for us. We're grateful to Bogan and Munns and the Bryce West Foundation, Orlando Health, who sponsored our rebirth. And we're just now getting sponsors for this upcoming season. So,
oh, that's awesome.
I'm very sure cool. I'm missing some people. We love everybody.
You love everybody.
And we have a new web launch happening very soon. Yeah. So keep an eye out for that.
Yeah.
Tell us about that. It's going to be a whole new website.
I think it's all Eric Pinder's face on it. Is that what he said?
It's going to be a whole new website geared towards, you know, top of the line, really.
We lucked out by getting 6 new board members after we renamed the organization and had our rebirth. And one of those board members happens to be a marketing gal, runs her own marketing organization, and has taken on the Herculean task of remaking our website. So we're excited to see what she can do. And I know it's going to be fabulous. I think it should be done 2 weeks. We'll have it up. So
I need someone who's going to work with rebranding you on your board, new to your board.
Georgia Tiffany?
I think so.
Yep, she's the marketing gal we're talking about.
I thought so. You know what? I tried to find her card because I wanted to let her know you were here.
Yeah, well, I'll send her the selfie we took.
Okay. That's so wonderful. Please tell her hello for me. I met her on her first night of getting her master's degree.
Oh my goodness. World. Yeah, I think she's picking up another executive MBA
there. Yes, she is. She's got that much time.
She's really on the forefront of, you know, building our new site, and it's going to be state of the art.
It's been amazing to see all the people that want to be a part of Opera Orlando since the rebirth, and we're very, very grateful.
That's
very
awesome, guys. Well, we are cheering you both on. Thank you for the incredible work that you're doing in our community and to really bring a resurgence back of opera here. And if we can do anything to support you, Mary and I will definitely come out to the opera. But go to operaorlando.org and check out the season. Buy tickets, go support, be a member, be a volunteer, and let's make sure that opera stays here in our community. So thank you guys both for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Gosh,
and
Mary,
as we kind of leave, maybe we could have a little humming together.
A little humming.
Well, we didn't talk about Giovanni. Should I do a little bit of the serenade?
So we have Don Giovanni coming up. That is March 24th through 26th.
At the Dr. Phillips Center.
It's going to be a high concept show, and Mr. Prizer here is our lead as Don Giovanni. And
I am?
You are!
Oh my gosh,
I hope you know the song right now, because I'm going to ask you to sing it.
You just got cast at it. So
I got cast. Oh, all right, well, I think I know the serenade. I won't do the whole thing. I'll just do a little bit.
Yeah, give us like 30 seconds as we're getting ready to go.
De vieni alla finestra. O mio tesoro, de vieni a consolar il pianto mio. Se neghi a me di dar qualche ristoro, davanti agli occhi tuoi morir volio.
Oh.
serious.
We've been asking for that resist. Sound every week.
You just found
it
that.
Just happened to be with Gabe.
Well, it finally got deserved.
I love it.
I thought my voice made that happen.
That was beautiful,
amazing.
Gabe. Thank you so much.
Wow.
So you want to buy tickets just to hear that voice. Yeah. So go out and support Opera Orlando. Also this week happening, there's so many great things happening in our arts community. The Bach Festival Society of Winter Park is putting on a concert called Bach to School. The Global Peace Film Festival opens up tons of documentaries and original films that are happening, as well as West Side Story at the Shakespeare Theater, Bonnie and Clyde at Garden Theater, and then 1776 is opening soon
Mad Cow
Theater. Lots of good things. Check it out, OrlandoAtPlate.com. Thank you for supporting the arts. This has been From the Heart with Mary Thompson Hunt and Joshua Vickery.
See you next week.
We'll see you next week. Take care.